Good, very good morning to you all. Hope, how are you all? Good. I'm trying to get over a cold, so excuse the rather croaky delivery this morning. Apart from that, life's going well. I feel that I'm sort of taking off to new heights. So a couple of weeks ago, I was up at the top of the ladder replacing some of the light bulbs. And then this week, I was even higher. I was up on a church roof. So life is soaring. The sky's the limit. The view from here is actually the view from up there is great, but it's I think I prefer standing on the solid ground down here. And just to reiterate what Simon was mentioning earlier, so after this service, after we're going to coffee at Cog's Kitchen, and then we're going to get together to pray and discuss the vision for this service, and we're able to meet in the church center to do that, not the lounge as advertised last week. So if you'd like to stay on after coffee and just come for maybe half an hour to just a brief discussion and prayer really about what we see the vision for this service being, please join us for that in the church center. So we've just finished a series on God's rhythms. Simon kicked us off talking about the Sabbath and the need to start off the week out of the rest that we get from Sabbath. And then Jane finished last week with her talk on retreat and the need to really get away and have time with God. So I've been taking a lot from this teaching. So excuse me if I sort of carry on and extend and expand and maybe repeat on one or two little bits. Because this morning's passage that we're going to be reading, I read while we were going through that series. And it was quite challenging because it was the passage where Jesus and his disciples seem to be walking and trashing one of these special days of rest, the Sabbath, and are accused of sort of tearing it apart. So let's take a look at that. It's in Luke's Gospel. If you've got access to Bible, it's chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel, and it's the first 11 verses. So one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. So here are Jesus' disciples picking fruit on the Sabbath and Jesus himself healing on the Sabbath. So really a blatant disregard to these rules that had been set up around the Sabbath to protect that as a holy day, as a special day, time with God. Now, I've read this passage in the past and I found it quite easy to sort of see how the Pharisees have missed the point, how they're focusing on the religious laws and adhering to them strictly and missing the whole point of what God's heart is, which is, to provide and to heal people. But when I read it this time, I felt quite challenged because I felt God put me in the position of the Pharisees and to ask me, what do I value highly? What things am I holding up high, perhaps above God? And those things that perhaps make me feel safe and important, but where I'm actually missing the point. How about for the rest of us? Let's just pause for a moment while we ask God to show us if there's anything which we're holding up, sometimes higher than God. Maybe some of these examples which God showed me might help. The first one, I didn't stop to help. So I was cycling to school with the children, passing another parent on a bike who had a puncture. And I was torn between, do I go to school and get the kids to school on time, or do I stop and help? And I cycled on. Actually, that was more important for me, to get the children to school. I didn't stop to listen. So I had somebody come into the office, and I could clearly see that they were sort of angling for a discussion. There was a need there. But I had lots to do. I had to get to a meeting on time. And I didn't even, give them enough time to acknowledge that there was a need there and perhaps arrange a time when we could chat. I didn't stop pursuing my own goals. This is an old favorite for me, working at the end of the day, trying to reduce my to-do list, staying much longer than I should at work, and then missing, I don't know what I missed, because I was then rushing so much to get out of the office, to get home, to help get dinner ready on time, that I don't know what God had in the way of opportunities at that point in my life. I was so caught up in my own world. And so it's a good question to ask God, a risky question to ask him. Jesus, what am I holding up higher than you? What am I holding up higher than you? When we climb up a mountain or a roof, if it's not too terrifying, we can feel a little bit closer to God. But it's not the position that we're in that's important. It's the act of creating some space and time, the solitude that we have with God in those moments that connects us with God. I try another version of this every Monday when I go to my lectures down in at college. I get to the lecture theatre and I go and sit up in the back row because it's nice and high up, in the desperate hope that less of the material will go over my head, but that doesn't work either. No, it's not the physical position that makes us feel closer to God. It's not even like the Tower of Babel that was a tower of pride and arrogance, because we can build one of those just as easily standing on the ground. It doesn't have to be an empire that we're building. All we need to do is put something just a little bit higher than God in our hearts. Like putting our reputation or our ambitions or our fear of what others might think of us above what God is asking us to do. Or thinking about our own needs so much that we stop seeing the needs of others. That's a good question to ask as well. Do we see the needs of others? Are we aware of them? Or are we perhaps too busy with our own lives to really see what's going on for other people? And it's easy to justify ourselves. I do it every day. The Pharisees genuinely thought they were doing God's work, but their pride prevented them from being open to correction. So let's pray we can be humble enough to be open to God's Holy Spirit, his loving, caring, and challenging voice for us. And the good news is that when we get into God's rhythm, spending time with him, listening to him, being refreshed by him, we start to see the needs around us. We stop worrying about ourselves and our own reputation. And the opportunities start to arise where we can share the good news with others about us. And that's the exciting outcome. So like on Thursday when I was up on that roof, it was with a roof alarm salesman. I took the time not just to sort out the business of the alarm, but actually to hear his story, to listen, and then to share the gospel message with him and the hope that it has for all of us. And it dawned on me what a huge opportunity we have, actually. Whenever we're the customer, whenever someone knocks on our door or comes into our home or wherever we're in a shop or a restaurant, people are there listening to us. They're being paid to listen to us. It might be an inconvenient time. We might not have as much time as we'd like, but what an opportunity to be a great witness. Now, I feel that these opportunities come out of prayer. Simon mentioned that the staff team were challenging ourselves to go out there and speak the word. And so we'd been praying about that. And actually, the slot when we were going to do that, Jerry had arranged for me to be here working with the guy on the roof. So I couldn't actually go out and do that. So I said, well, I've got my target individual. So the agenda was set. And it's really when we pray that we can get into that we can allow God to move. It's only through that. And how do we get to pray? It's really when we get into a good rhythm that we then find the time to pray. And so as we continue in God's presence here, now, today, as we leave this building and then throughout this week, let's be praying and asking God, Lord, what am I holding higher than you? Things that we may be passionate about, but where we're slightly missing the point. And let's be open to the loving, caring, challenging voice of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to invite Martin back up just to lead us in our last song. And let's stand. And if we can just be open to God and his Spirit as we sing in this last worship song. What are you saying to us, Lord? What are we doing? What are we putting above you? Help us to hear you, Father. Help us to be open. Help us to put you above everything else. In Jesus' name, amen.